Therefore, the quotes that come from these plays, I think, are timelessly relevant. We deal today with the same moral dilemmas that the Greeks dealt with 2,500 years ago and that they explored in their theaters.
That's James Rahm, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. James Rahm specializes in ancient Greek and Roman culture and civilization, and is the author of numerous acclaimed books, including Plato and the Tyrant, Ghost on the Throne, and Dying Every Day. He joins us to talk about Since You're Mortal, Life Lessons from the Lost Greek Plays. James, welcome to Conversations.
Thank you, Dan. It's a pleasure.
In the introduction to the book, you talk about how these life lessons were gathered together by a father for his son. Tell us about the history behind this book.
So the father in question is named Stobaeus, or rather that's how we refer to him. John of Stobae was his full name. He lived in the 5th century AD, so the late Roman Empire, almost the early Middle Ages, in a place called Stobae in the Balkans. So this was the Greek portion of the Roman Empire, and he was Greek-speaking and Greek-reading. So he collected, for the benefit of his son, all the best passages of ancient literature from classical Greece, about a millennium before his own time. And he compiled these quotes and passages, fortune cookie sayings in some cases, into a huge anthology, of which the portions that I'm dealing with are only a tiny, tiny fraction. But his goal was to educate his son, to teach him how to lead a good life.
And in the process of doing this, he unknowingly created a way of preserving a lot of these little snippets that no longer exist anymore because those ancient plays have disappeared. Tell us about why those are gone now.
So the 5th century AD, the time when this man lived, was the period in which the book, what we think of as the book, was first coming into use. Up to this time, texts had been written on papyrus scrolls. The book that began in the 5th century, or roughly then, was made up of leaves, pages, and the material used was mostly animal skin, vellum, a much more expensive medium than papyrus. So the space available for copying text was much smaller because of the expense, and therefore only a very few texts got copied into these books from the papyrus scrolls. There was a bottleneck, if you like, and only a few texts made it through. Stobaeus still had access to all the scrolls. He was still reading hundreds of plays that we no longer have because they didn't make it into books.
So if it didn't get copied, it just deteriorated and went away, basically.
That's right.
So you mentioned what's in this book is just a fraction of what this gentleman wrote for his son. How did you decide what to put into this book?
So I was translating the fragments of Greek tragedy and comedy, the plays from ancient Greece, and those are only a small portion of what Stobaeus used. And from his quotes, the quotes that he preserved, I took only a small fraction. So I call it a doubly distilled reduction that takes the best of the best from this anthology.
And if I understand correctly, you also then added some additional quotes and life lessons to sort of supplement what Stobaeus collected in term for, you know, for this particular book.
That's right. So I looked through other collections of fragments of Greek drama, some of which are preserved by other writers besides Stobaeus, and found a few other choice samples from those collections.
You point out in the book, not only was a challenge of translation, but there was a challenge of attribution, that sometimes you couldn't ultimately define, you know, who did it at all. So you kind of had to put some stuff in effect, anonymously.
That's right. There are a lot of quotes preserved by ancient authors where they simply didn't bother to name the author or the play from which this quote came. They're floating around in the ether, so to speak, without any attribution. So I did include some of those where I thought it was warranted.
Well, tell us about how this book is organized. What is the reader going to find here?
So I used roughly the thematic organization that Stobaeus uses. He has chapters entitled Virtue, Justice, Wealth, Love, Marriage, the kinds of topics that a young person, his son, would have to think about when learning to lead a good life. So I used those same thematic breakdowns. There's about 15 of them leading up to Stobaeus's final chapters, which are old age and death. So roughly he follows the life cycle, the kinds of questions one confronts at various stages.
Yeah, even though there is a section about old age and death, it appears that death finds its way into a lot of the other categories as well.
Yes, and that's the bias of Greek tragedy, that death is always lurking, or misfortunes of various kinds. So the book, as compared with a lot of modern self-help volumes, has something of a downward cast. It looks at the downsides of life more than a lot of these collections might do.
Well, to give us a taste of what readers are going to find here, can you give us some examples of the life lessons presented, maybe in short, you know, sentences or longer? But all of them are pretty brief, I should tell people, so you can kind of dip in by category, or in a way you can just kind of open the book and read something and contemplate on that just about anywhere.
Well, so I'll give you one from the dark side, from Sophoclean Tragedy. The truly happy man should never leave home. That is to say, if you're doing well, you're at your peak, and things are only going to go downhill from here. Leaving home, you're going to expose yourself to harms and misfortunes, and things will inevitably get worse. So that's from the tragic side of life. From the more comic side, no wedding cake is baked among the dead. That is to say, you've got one life to live. You've got to grab all the gusto you can and essentially eat, drink, and be merry.
And there's a quote associated with the title of this book. Tell us about it.
So the quote that the title comes from is from a play of Euripides. Since you're mortal, expect to endure mortal things. Or do you, mere human, think you deserve a god's life? That is, we're all in the same boat here. We're not gods, we're mortals, and therefore we're going to meet up with a lot of things that we might not like, and eventually we're going to grow old and die, and that we certainly won't like. So let's expect those things. Let's be prepared for them.
One of the quotes that jumped out to me is that ignorance is a misfortune we bring on ourselves, by Menander. I just thought how true that is. You know, ignorance really is a choice. And if you, you know, blame your life's problems on the fact that I didn't know, well, you know, you, in many ways, you have only yourself to blame.
Yes. There's a lot of quotes that deal with our moral obligations. The onus is on us for self-improvement, for developing the right attitudes that will lead us to a good life.
What do you think these life lessons, ancient as they are, still speak to people today?
Greek tragedy is based on myth, and myth, as we know, is timeless. We still talk today about Oedipus and Antigone and Medea, figures from myth that represent basic human impulses or human condition. Therefore, the quotes that come from these plays, I think, are timelessly relevant. we deal today with the same moral dilemmas that the Greeks dealt with 2,500 years ago and that they explored in their theaters.
I mentioned earlier that you could just sort of dip into these, but how do you envision people using this book?
That's a great question. I like to think of it as a night table book, something one might read before going to bed when one is winding down and there's less distractions and a chance to contemplate more timeless things. I think of it also as a gift that a father might give to a son or a parent might give to a child, especially around graduation time, which is fast coming upon us, because it is meant for a young person growing up and facing the world.
And yet it's advice that we can use at any age.
I hope so. I hope so. And especially in our current moment when moral dilemmas are perhaps even more pressing than they have been for a long time.
I'm curious, you've spent your career, a significant portion of your life, translating ancient documents and gleaning wisdom from the past. I'm wondering how it sort of had changed your outlook about life to see how people viewed the world in the past.
It's been a source of endless inspiration for me, the knowledge that the Greek world had many of our same concerns, many of our same problems. There's a great quote from Thucydides, the historian that lived at the same time as these playwrights, that human nature doesn't really change. He recorded the effects of a plague during his time, and he said, I'm writing this down in case these things ever happen again, because human nature remains constant over time. And I think reading the Greeks teaches us that that is true.
James, I wanted to compliment you on having this book out here in the world now, because they're based on those lost plays. But if it weren't for people like you that are doing these translations, it would remain lost. It wouldn't be available to the general public. And this is really the only place that people are going to find this collection of wisdom. So first of all, thank you for that.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is something that I have tried to do. These snippets, these wonderful inspirational quotes are really only available to Greek scholars at the moment. They're in very obscure scholarly editions and only translated into prose, if they are translated at all. So I've tried to make them accessible and also put them into verse, because that's how they're written. They're written as poetry, and I felt they needed to be translated that way.
Again, congratulations on having this book out in the world now. What's next for you?
So I'm very proud of something I'm working on right now, which is also a very obscure work that formerly has not been available to the general public. But there is an ancient Greek epic poem on saltwater fishing. And I'm a passionate fisherman, and I discovered that this poem is quite wonderful and has marvelous stories that fishermen will enjoy, and hopefully non-fishermen as well. And it will come out next year in a volume called How to Fish.
To learn more, the book is Since You're Mortal, Life Lessons from the Lost Greek Plays by James Rahm. James, thank you for talking with me today.
Thank you for having me on.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen to the latest episodes on your phone or tablet, and you'll also find us on Facebook. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.